Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to make a few observations and ask a few questions.
Yes.
One in particular, I believe that they're talking about gathering and they're trying to give all kind of exposure to our culture from way back. And I wonder why we don't have some matches with what we used to call kneeling down cricket. That really would be an amusing thing to see how we used to play cricket years ago.
Okay.
You kneel and hit the ball, and if you can run, you run. But it was really exciting in those days. The other thing of concern is I admire the government in planting all these fruit trees. But I asked myself, what would we do with the monkeys? Because I have one, and I can't get a mango from it. And they will run
away. You probably have to plant two trees. You have to probably plant two trees, one for the monkey and one for you.
Yeah,
and tell them, do not venture here. And put a sign up. And put some barricades and tell them, do not come. Look at them and point at them and tell them, don't come here. This is for you.
Right.
And see what happens. Try that experiment.
I have to do that. Thank you. The other point is that I'm concerned about the large number of hotels we hope to build. And we're having right now a water crisis. And I wonder if this development would not put further pressure on the water supply, and if the hotels could not be enforced to have their own water system somehow.
Well, in some instances, like for example, I remember when the place in St. James, was it Lancaster? There was a place in St. James when they had to provide their own water. I think they actually did. And there are some instances where, like for example, well, that one was specifically a golf course. And you would ask that persons who are coming in consider the environment and not do anything that is inimical to the environment and the users of the space that are in the surrounding environs. So you're making a valid point that persons should or would have to consider adding value as opposed to detracting from the value.
See, because you have a X now the population, and you're getting pressure for the water. Then two or three more hotels open, maybe with a capacity and all of about 3,000 or 4,000 people. How much more pressure we can put on the water supply, bathing, everything. So I would hope that you consider that in the long run.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for your contribution. There's also another scenario in relation to new investments that I noticed the government has been mentioning quite a bit. And any new investment, one of the things that they said they want to benefit from is planning gains, so that with any of the new investments that are proposed, there should be some other benefit coming out of this. So not just that you're going to come and you're going to drop a nice, lovely 6-foot or 6-story building or a 3-story building, but the persons who are the users in that space must be able to get something out of it. So like, for example, we were talking about the students in the environs of Spikestown, possibly the Alexandra School and the other primary school just right there in the environs. Would they benefit from improved science labs and other things, so that if there's any investment, the investment isn't only a selfish investment, but it adds value. So that's good. Thank you for sharing your feedback. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. One of the other things I also noticed is that my WhatsApp is just going, and I didn't go there, so let me just hold on the phone line. There is a number of persons who are commenting on the discussion we had earlier about the value-added tax, and there were some queries, one of which had to do with whether or not persons who, similar to the gentleman who raised a query on the manufacturing, he was asking the question here, someone is saying, yes, you claim back VAT, and I did share that with the gentleman, you should consider that government would, of course, leave a special carve out for persons who already have those, what I call, special concessions. And then there are persons who are talking here about the discussion on the gentleman from, the 91-year-old gentleman, persons were also asking questions. Dr. Brad Stacks, we discussed the matter of value-added tax on items, particularly the new online value-added tax. Not really a new tax, but now the new application of it, because it was always supposed to be on certain items, but at the time it wasn't operationalized. I did reach out to the Barbados Revenue Authority at that time, and they shared a bit of information, some of which I would have shared with the gentleman before. At that time, he would have raised the matter as a manufacturer, what is transpiring and whether or not he would have to pay, etc. And I did allude to him to the fact that he would have to claim a refund after having paid up front. And the Barbados Revenue Authority was able to confirm that. They have also shared that it is not a new tax. It is a new way of collecting value-added tax on goods and services, for which VAT was always supposed to be paid. And they indicated that this new collection method is about increasing the effectiveness of the tax collection. And I did mention the point about broadening the tax net at the time to the gentleman that called. So I thought that was useful information that I will share with you when we resume. Another point that was also made is that consumers have moved to these digital responses, or because we are now in a digital age, you would have more responses from. They're actually trading differently, and tax collection has now to adapt to that. And that is a fact. We know that many times people will go overseas or bring in a barrel, etc. The barrel trade was a much bigger trade, and we can see that by the number of barrels passing through the port vis-a-vis the number of barrels passing through the port 10 years ago. And I did mention, based on some information I would have read before to the same gentleman, that the country was losing approximately in excess of $50 million. Now, the BRA has mentioned that it is losing approximately $50 million in value-added tax revenues. And this is through goods and the increasing number of goods and services such as hotel rooms, car rentals, and tours, which are being purchased online by tourists. And tourists and visitors consumed in Barbados, but they are not being brought into the port, but they are paid by online vendors. So this new collection method is part of the strategy for ensuring that the country would be able to broaden its tax net. And it was very good to get that feedback from the Barbados Revenue Authority. And I did make the suggestion that they would call, and I understand that they have called. So I want to welcome Miss. I would actually let them introduce themselves so that we have the accurate names and the accurate titles. So this is a response based on one of our callers, or two of our callers this morning. Dr. Rastatz, good morning. Good afternoon. We are now 17 minutes after 12 o'clock. So welcome on the program.
Hi, good morning, Ms.
Gale. Good morning, Mrs. Hi, good morning. Gale. This is Mrs. Yes. Gale with a Y, Mrs. Carolyn Gale.
That's correct, and I'm here with Trevor Ford as well.
Hello, Mr. Ford.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome. I'm doing well.
Thank you.
So you know we have not a new tax, but we have a new set of collection.
A new
method for collecting VAT, which was always applicable on goods and services.
That's correct.
But you know, in this atmosphere where many have argued, and the gentleman did start by talking about the cost of living being high, that there are a number of things, this being one of them, just an added set of red tape, he didn't say, but he's saying that it would not necessarily assist business because it's going to kind of impair persons from trading in the ways that they would have been doing. So I just want you to share a little bit, clean up a little bit of those responses. There were two queries that I want you to specifically answer. And I attempted to answer one of them already, having to do with manufacturing items. If a person is a manufacturer, whether or not they would have to pay up front. And I did suggest yes, and they paid a refund after. The other one has to do with a person who queried whether online, not books, but that was one of them. I responded to that person, but this was via WhatsApp. Another person mentioned they wanted to address whether or not they have to pay their annual fees, whether that will be applicable. Let's say they're part of an organization, an international organization, or they're attending a university, those type things. So could you kindly share a little bit and give us a nutshell on this new payment?
Okay, so Ms. Gail, Trevor Ford here. So first of all, let's speak about VAT, just briefly, VAT online transaction.
Yeah.
As you correctly said initially, it is not a new tax. We have just changed the mode or method of collection to be able to collect at source. It does not only broaden the tax gap, but it also helps basically to remove some of the, let's say, the difficulties or make business easier when your goods arrive at the ports of entry. Okay? You would have already paid your VAT already.
Okay.
Now, as it relates to the amendment to the VAT Act, mm-hmm. in this case, which is 2019-9, this goes in concert basically with the overall VAT Act, the law as it exists. So basically, you should have been paying VAT to begin with. Again, this is not a new tax.
Yes.
As it relates to your question, as it relates to the manufacturers, I think it was?
Yes, that was one of the
queries. But manufacturers do pay VAT. They're required to pay VAT unless they have some sort of a concession or waiver, in which case...
They do have waivers. Yes, they do have waivers.
Yeah, right. So they pay the VAT up front, they come to the Barber's Revenue Authority to get it. But that does make it very easy for the overseas vendor. And we will be able to handle that on our end. As it relates to education, this is an area typically you don't pay a VAT on. So again, the VAT Act will prevail.
Okay.
So the only thing that really changes is the method in which we have chosen to do it.
Well, there are two things. I know I responded to one person offline quietly where someone said, I'm paying twice because I have to pay online and then I have to pay when I get here. And I know we don't have double taxation, so could you address that for us as well? I know that it is not that way, but please clarify for
us. Okay. So basically, it is not a double tax. And the tax is only applied for goods and services to be consumed in Barbados. So if you're talking about a product, that product has to be shipped directly from its origin to our ports of entry. What would happen basically, you would be issued, the online vendor or overseas vendor would issue a receipt or invoice with the VAT that has already been paid when the person or persons or company, entities, whatever, go to collect their items from the port or ports of entry.
So what if...
They show that receipt.
Mm-hmm.
To the customs officer, and the customs officer will be aware that they would have already paid it.
Right. So what if I purchase, like I mentioned in the previous conversation, what if I purchase a set of shoes or several pairs of shoes, and I'm a small business trading under the radar, or mm-hmm. not necessarily under the radar, but I'm not meeting the threshold for where value-added tax. I wouldn't be a registered value-added tax. I wouldn't be a registrant. Because I haven't met that $200,000 threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring in a couple of pairs of shoes for some clients. What's applicable there? I pay the value-added tax.
It's the same thing.
But, right.
You know, if you shipped it, just take the online tax out of it,
mm-hmm.
what people refer to as the online tax,
yes.
or the online mechanism whereby you purchase your goods and services,
mm-hmm.
and let's say you bought it and you shipped it to Barbados,
yes.
through normal means, you still have to pay that back.
Right. Well, two things. Let's say it's only one pair of shoes and it's just an individual, and I send it to a friend of mine, would I be able to circumvent the payment of that value-added tax by sending it and then letting that person bring it into Barbados?
Miss Gill.
No, I'm asking the same questions that I'm seeing either online or on WhatsApp.
Circumvent it. All I will tell you is that if you bought a good
mm-hmm.
or product that you sent it overseas
mm-hmm.
and you bring it into Barbados, let's say you come through the airport, then there's the responsibilities of the customs at the department basically mm-hmm. to enforce the VAT
mm-hmm.
and charge the VAT on that item. This mechanism does not contemplate anything other than e-commerce transaction.
So no circumvention. but I also have another query, and there was the issuance of a memo from Amazon. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with that? And does that have a relationship with what has transpired with the new amendment to the value-added tax act?
I would like to think that any online vendor and overseas vendor
mm-hmm.
would, in a situation like this, because it is law, would inform their customers regarding the requirement.
Okay. Yes.
Is that sufficient for you? Yeah,
It is sufficient.
It is okay for them to do that. If what we are doing here now in terms of charging VAT at source, so they need to tell them it is a change on their end, and they need to inform their customers.
So let me put myself in the shoe. So let's say, for example, my accounting software package, my little $2.20. I think that's the amount I have to pay Apple for cloud services. All those other things. Are those now going to attract value-added tax?
Sir, it is a service, and it will.
Yes, it's a service.
Yes.
Okay, so as people did rightly say, and we can agree, mm-hmm. while it is the broadening of the tax base, and we understand the importance of that, we need the revenues, etc., there will be an increased cost to do business. I know you're not within that domain to respond.
But the
reality is that if I was paying $75 for a service or a good, and I now have to pay $75 plus 17.5%, it is an increased cost to my business.
Look at it this way. You would have always had to pay according to the VAT.
Right.
You were just not paying it before.
So furthering this advocate, and I don't have any relationship with the devil. I've moved away from working for him. I'm now working for God. But let me just be an advocate. And I'll simply ask the question. Now, if I just had it here. I started to write it, but I didn't finish it. So the all of the services that as a, let's say a software technician, a software, he now has to reevaluate his own business model. Because what he previously charged all of his clients for, let's say, the last 15 years, whether or not the value-added tax did not do what it was supposed to do, because let me give you the real advocate I was going to make. A couple years ago, in a different iteration, I remember there was a piece of legislation that wasn't being enforced, and the government tried to enforce it. And there was a whole set of uprising. And this has to do with the $25 that will have to be paid to the SBRC. You remember when government argued, but this was always on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened. it was I don't know what's happening now, if it was instated, but I wouldn't be the advocate anymore. I want to thank you so much for your information. You've been very helpful. I'm hoping that our listeners have better been able to appreciate what has transpired. The value-added tax was always applicable. This is now not a new tax. This is now applying the tax in a way that it expands the base so that the net is broader, so that the government will get those leaked revenues that were once before going elsewhere or not being paid for. I thank you so much for sharing with me, Mr. Ford and Mrs. Gale, and I hope you have a good day. The music tells us that it is time for the lunchtime latest on Starcom Network News. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're going until 1 p.m. today. We do have quite a number of queries on the online VAT, the tax, the amendment to the Value Added Tax Act. And there were some good responses thus far. We thank the Barbados Revenue Authority for calling in and sharing, clarifying a few things. And we did get some feedback. I did have a software developer who is one of my colleagues ask the question about the way us trying to attract fintech businesses was one of his queries, and using or creating software is one of those things that will cause an increase in cost. So very important point. While we look at persons who are abusing the system, or we're looking at persons who are getting away with small things, they're also legitimate businesses that do have some claims, and it is always good to hear from them. And this is one web developer, a couple other things. He's more than that. Very gifted and talented technician in his own right. He is a software engineer, etc. And he did ask the question about the online services and cloud services, which are used for software development, which we need. Most businesses need some type of software, whether it's HR software, accounting software, you name it. They're all different types of software, and that is going to have implications for costs, and something that we must put on the table and discuss. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Remember, we're going until 1 p.m.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Gill.
Good afternoon, sir.
Sorry.
Doctor.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
There's an ad in the daily paper which disturbs me a bit. It is advertising fresh pork at $4.55 a pound.
Too cheap or too expensive?
It may seem to be expensive, but it is extremely cheap when we talk about what it is going to do to the local producers. Now,
and you're sure that it is not local?
I'm sure it's not local, yes.
Okay, yes.
Now, the Prime Minister, in the intersectional meeting of the heads of government, made reference to the need for food security and reducing the import bill.
Yes.
And I know that this is something that she has also been pushing locally.
Yes.
Now, therefore, it is incongruous, therefore, if on the one hand we are talking about reducing the food import bill and people being allowed to import a commodity that destroys a local industry. Now, I had a very disturbing call from a gentleman who has invested quite a lot of money in the pork industry this morning. Mm-hmm. And he said that the things are getting so bad in the industry that a farmer gave away, yesterday a farmer gave away a sow that was pregnant. Mm. And he sold about 30 full-grown pigs at the price of piglets, because things are so bad that he cannot afford to feed the pigs to take them to the market. Now, this is very troubling, you know, because we went a long way, and a lot of investment was made in order to develop the pig industry in Barbados. Government over the years provided a number of incentives for farmers so that they can build an industry.
Yeah.
It therefore, in my view, is a national disgrace when businesses in this country would ignore the fact that we have an industry here simply because they can get cheap products from somewhere else and bring it to the country. In addition, we do not know where this pork is coming from, right?
Yes.
We don't know whether it's coming directly from a country or whether it's transshipped through that country. So we don't know where it's coming from. Secondly, the company that is importing this pork
I know has received over the years incentives from government in order to help them to develop as a business in Barbados. And in return, money which came out of the public purse. Therefore, the same taxpayers who provided that money that they benefited from to build their company, we're going to have them there destroying an industry which not only is going to jeopardize the investment of the farmers, but it also puts workers out of jobs. And I think that it is time that the companies in this country, the businesses in this country, recognize that it is not only the poor people and the middle class that must carry the burden to get this country back on track, but that they also have a responsibility to ensure that they contribute to the development of this country and not be just leeches sucking the economic blood of the country at the expense of poor people. It is a disgrace in my view.
Interesting. Very, very, very good thoughts there. I was trying to reflect on the pork industry, and I know lots of work has gone on. And do you have any data on the size of the industry and the number of persons employed? And similar to the poultry industry, which has employs about 6,000 people. About 6 years ago. I don't know how it has changed since then, but I ask that because I agree with you that the private sector has to play a role as well as it relates to the burden that is being borne or shared across. I fully agree with you there. I also know the element of competition, and I was trying to figure out whether there was not necessarily any domestic policies that have been put in place to protect any protectionist policies, but I would like to know what has happened in the pork industry for there to be any shadow of protection or semblance at all, if any. Have they ever benefited from any protection?
I
can't pull the tariff number right now, nor can I pull the tariff rate. I don't know what it is right off the cuff. I know about chicken, etc.
What happened in developing the pork industry, it wasn't the case of protection.
Right.
What happened is that incentives were given to farmers.
Okay.
For example, there was a guilt policy where you were given, the farmers basically when they had a certain number of guilt, it was subsidized.
Okay, so and there's some level of, well, that's an incentive, subsidization.
And therefore allow the farmers to build an industry which had become self-sufficient.
Okay.
We had become self-sufficient in pork. Therefore, there was no need for anybody the only motivation for anybody to go and seek to import cheap pork into Barbados was a profit motive. That was the only incentive for them.
There's also the health factor that I think we don't really underscore sufficiently. But right. Pork is one of those commodities that it must be handled properly. We must know the origin. You know, knowing the source plays a big role in the purchase for some people, I know, but not for all. And if you do have a profit motive, then source is not always relevant. Sometimes it is really just getting it in and doing what needs to be done, you know, sold and get those profits. But you've raised some good points, and it would be something I would like to explore some more. Having spent a lot of time and paid a lot of attention to the poultry industry, I haven't done so on the pork industry. And it would be good to get some feedback and some data.
Somebody tell something about it, because it is killing the big industry in this country.
Okay. And I did hear that before about the impact of imports from the BAS and a couple other persons. Thank you so much for sharing, Doctor. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, you are listening to your phone.
Hello, Monsieur.
Yes, sir.
My name is Winston Harris. Winston Harris.
Winston Harris.
Yeah. I would say that the waterworks, the people in Water Authority, do not want our advice. I could tell you that I've been in there almost 32 years, and I put down meals, and they don't want no advice. You know what they want? Going and buying the metal detectives to find all kind of things, because they got me last year. Obviously, last year, I come at my home, and my party meals come down.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Winston.
Yeah.
Are you the gentleman that we refer to?
Yes.
Okay. Winston, could you, before you, don't go off the phone, but before the time is up, I want you to give your number to the
producer. Yeah.
But let us talk now. Uh-huh. I did hear about you.
Yeah.
And, or about one of you. You're married?
Yeah.
Right. I think I met your wife.
Okay.
I think so. But, I did hear about the expertise you have, and what I would encourage you, don't automatically assume that people do not want your advice. Even if you see a practice that is happening that suggests that your advice is not welcomed, maybe the way in which the advice was proffered, or maybe the timing, or maybe the person who was, you know, they were the ones who were supposed to solicit the advice, they may have an ego, there may be different things at play. But when you have, and I've heard about you before, when you have expertise, when you have institutional knowledge, when you have that know-how, there's something called in international trade traditional knowledge, which is like us knowing the herbs and knowing the reefs and knowing different things. Only the persons who have spent time and have been there know that. So I'm just simply saying that you have something that is useful, and I'm sure that you have other colleagues who might have passed on,
or
who have left, etc.
Yeah.
I would want you to package it differently, or I would want to set up a discussion or a meeting or something with you so that discussion
anytime
can be had to start.
I would love a meeting.
Yes. So please leave your number with the gentleman. His name is Mr. John Stout. I want to also thank him for being the producer for today and assisting me. But please leave your number with him, and we would go from there. I want to thank all of our callers. You have made today a beautiful day. We've been able to talk about a range of topics. I think the main one was the recent amendment to the Value Added Tax Act. We know that it is not a new tax. We know it is really just to broaden the tax take. And I remember saying that a long time ago, that we have a lot of leakages across our different taxation mechanisms, and we needed to improve. And in this case, this is one instance where some people will feel the pain. The costs will be impacted. I know that for sure for a number of not just businesses, but persons who just are consumers buying things. But we also know the government needs to get some revenue. And we can have a discussion about it some more, because there are some businesses that will feel it more, and they will have to, of course, look at their models, etc. Thank you also for the Barbados Revenue Authority for calling and sharing, giving that feedback. Thank you to the WhatsAppers. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. My name is Lisa Gale.